The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to A Game from the Radio. This is your host, Mara Torres speaking. With me on the phone, I have our very own ghost in the wind, Hassan Godwin.
Yeah.
Well, we're already into month number two, and you have yet to step foot into this station. So you are now an apparition.
I am otherworldly, and I feel otherworldly, so it's really good. It's good.
Either that or you're in the quarantine.
I feel like both, actually.
Do you have some design? Do you have the T cell virus in you?
You know, that would make it special. That would make it significant. I think it's just the flu, but that's not like it came from the radio special enough. So I probably have what is that place? The Pandora flu.
Oh.
I got the Hanging Mountain sickness. That's okay. What I got.
All right. The Hanging Mountain sickness.
That's... Hanging Mountain sickness. That's what I got.
What are the symptoms of the Hanging Mountain sickness?
You pretty much feel like crap for like weeks, apparently, and with no end in sight.
So that's just like every other illness, really.
Well, there's usually an end in sight when you get a regular sickness.
Oh.
But
this has no end in sight.
No end in sight.
All right. I see.
I still feel like total dread right now.
And our very own Charlie Saladino, our senior correspondent, he is actually at the Beatles party that's going on in New York City because it's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles coming to the United States.
He gets to go on assignment.
Yeah, he's actually covering the event. He's going to tell us all about it next week. So if you're a Beatles fan and you're not there and you want to hear about it,
Your problem if you're a Beatles fan and you're not there? What's wrong?
Maybe they got the Pandora virus.
Poor jerks. I can't say anything about it. It's terrible.
So
don't I sound great? Don't I sound fantastic?
Yeah, you sound awesome. You sound awesomely sick.
Thank you. That was my goal.
Good job. Good job being sick. If anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online at www.am1240wgbb and listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me and Brian, our station engineer, on the web camera right now. Hey.
That's
provided that you are listening to us right now live as opposed to listening to us in the future, which would be our past, and you'll be watching something else on the
I'm too sick to even fight this one this time. That's a great idea. Go ahead. Okay.
And so we're going to take it away with the news.
I think you should take it away with the news, Mark.
And as we've been so blessed, we have our sponsor that sponsors the news. It's brought to you by the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing in Belmore, New York. Just in time for Valentine's Day, if you want to get screwed over and you're lonely, call them up and they will take care of you, rightfully so.
When is your vengeance going to be over? It's never going to be over, is it?
It's a Pandora vengeance.
So there's no end in sight.
When you try to charge me $60 for something that costs $7, that's going to take a while. I'm just saying.
All right, no, that's fair. I'm not judging.
And when it costs more to do nothing than what it does to do the work, that's going to take some time.
Yeah, I gotcha. You know what? I totally agree. Rat Bastards. What's their name again? What are they called again?
Belmore Towing in Belmore, New York.
All right.
So
Belmore Towing equals Rat Bastards.
Yes. And like I said, if you're feeling lonely for Valentine's Day, which is next week, and you need to get screwed over, they will help you out. So let's see. Actually, we have a little bit of follow-up news. Last week, Charlie and I were talking about the shaky handheld camera movies, and I mentioned a movie, and I couldn't remember the title of the movie. It was Elizabeth Olsen starring in Silent House. So for those of you who were...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the theater.
Yeah. Who were trying to bang your heads against the table trying to figure out what we were talking about. That was the movie, Silent House.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally missed the show last week, so I would have been able to help you, because I actually did. What was the conversation about in brief?
The shaky handheld.
I actually saw the film.
We're talking about shaky handheld camera movies and how that was a shaky handheld camera that wasn't a true shaky handheld camera because it was actually just a person following them around.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a person in the movie. It was just that was how it was shot.
Right. And it wasn't. It actually wasn't that bad.
No, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's see. Also, last week, as reported last week, Philip Seymour Hoffman had died from an apparent drug overdose. And now as things begin to settle, the movie studios behind the Hunger Games movie franchise have stated that Hoffman had 7 days of filming left on the Hunger Games Part 3, Part 2. And they also have admitted that there was one important scene that had not yet been filmed. But fear not, Hunger Games fans. It turns out that the missing scene will be completed by doing quote-unquote digital things and will be paid for by the film's insurance policy. So in other words, we're going to have a young Harrison Ford meeting Jabba the Hutt in the Hunger Games movie.
Okay. And this comes from the desk of Hassan Godwin and not from the offices of It Came From the Radio.
Yeah.
But that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard, by the way. It would have been probably better if they didn't try to publicize the whole thing and just went ahead and did it, you know, and told you about it later after they pulled it off. But the fact that they made such a big deal out of it, or they're making such a big deal out of, oh, we're going to digitally recreate him for the movie, is disgusting. Sorry.
Well, whenever something like this happens, and it has actually been happening quite recently, quite frequently recently, the studio, the question is always, oh, what about the movie? What about the movie? And the studio's like, I don't know what to do. So usually they try to announce what they're going to do. Is that way the fears of, I guess, the investors aren't lost. You know, you hire a stand-in, you put the backs of people's heads. What was that movie? It was an old movie. That
what, Game of Death?
No, but before that, the black and white Dracula movie where the guy died halfway through and they had these like a stand-in.
Oh, yeah. I think Dracula died.
Yeah, that's the one.
They killed Dracula and they used someone else to just walk around with his cape.
Right, right. That was
covering his face and stuff.
Yeah. So back they've been doing it for that long. So, you know, it kind of just, this is the day and age that everything is out there now. Nothing's a quote-unquote secret, so.
Yeah, come on. Have some respect.
Yeah.
Respect, Mark. Respect.
From the desk of Hassan Godwin, we should respect each other.
Yeah, I guess it's only my desk. we're not going to respect anybody. So, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Let's see.
I'll shut my desk down. It's annoying everybody.
Speaking of people who are being respected... Bob Uecker, of all people, made an announcement about Major League Part 4 during a recent interview.
Oh.
He says, I'll be honest with you, they're talking about it. The storyline is all set. They've already asked me if I would be in it for Major League 4, and I told them I would. I've tossed
the directors.
Of course,
what is Bob Uecker doing?
He's still like announcing stuff, isn't he? I've talked to the directors, they're talking about it, and they're pretty serious. But that's all I can tell you.
Everybody is dead. I mean, okay.
Tom
Berenger hasn't made a movie in years. Charlie Sheen is finally looking his age and is insane. Wesley Snipes is in jail.
No, he's out. He's in Expendables 3.
Oof. Okay. Okay, forget it. I don't know what's worse, Expendables 3 or Major League 4. He wasn't even in the last two major leagues, right? He was only in the first one.
Charlie Sheen was
and
in the first two.
And Omar Epps took over for...
Wesley Snipes, yes. He was only in the first one, yeah.
Yeah. So
he'll be back.
Huh?
He'll be back.
Yeah. they can afford him now.
Because that's what
they put him in the film now.
That's exactly what happened. He got so famous off of that movie, they couldn't afford him, and even made a joke in the second movie about how he got all swelled head, and they couldn't afford his contract.
That's not a problem anymore.
You got Corbin Bernstein, you got Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen.
Corbin Bernstein is not, come on, what's the last thing you've seen Corbin Bernstein in?
Exactly, that's why they can afford him to come back. He was in Major League 3.
He probably looks 1,000 years old, though. I don't mean to disrespect him as an actor. I have no problem with him as an older man who is aged properly. But it's a sports movie. So unless he's now the new owner of the team, it doesn't make sense for him to be in it.
Maybe they're all going to be like co-owners of all different teams.
All of them, yeah. That's a great idea.
And then you have Dennis Haybert. He might be doing one they can't afford.
Yeah, because he's actually doing something. Even though they're just insurance commercials, he's still doing it.
Yeah. He was the president of the United States for a while.
Yes, he was.
So, and he had his own TV show on CBS. It was like some SWAT TV show thing. Yeah, canceled, but you know, he might hold on to some of that money, that CBS money.
Yeah, well, it's all about money.
And Bob Uecker's going to be in it. So right there, you got the whole cast.
Bob Uecker's going to be in my movie.
Sorry. And he also said that Major League 3 stunk, so Major League 4, I'm sure, is going to be better than Major League 3. Which is what they sold to a different company.
How does he even know that? How can he even be sure of that? He says that with such certainty.
He's very certain about his baseball knowledge.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's all perfect.
Speaking of certainty.
Oh, Mr. Segway.
The Lego Movie is on track to become the second biggest advanced ticket seller amongst all animated films of all time, right behind 2010's Toy Story Part 3. As of Thursday, Fandango's Lego sales were surpassing its advanced ticket sales for openings of animated blockbusters such as Frozen, Despicable Me, and Monster University at the same point in time before their openings. So the Thursday day, they were reporting higher numbers than the other movies. The first animated movie from Warner Brothers in 3 years will come, obviously, came out this week. And the analysts are projecting an opening of $40 million for this movie. Executives say, 97% of those buying tickets said that they had played with Lego at some point in their lives. 89% of people who bought tickets in advance said that the trailers and the movie clips they had seen online influenced the decision to see the film. 75% who bought tickets said that they are taking the entire family, and 72% of people that bought tickets said that the film's references to Batman and other pop culture characters increased their interest to buy tickets. So basically, it was just the marketing and the built-in audience for this.
All right. Well, I don't follow the news at all, so I didn't even know there was a Lego movie until I tuned into Facebook, and many of my friends were responding to the movie, and everyone had good things to say about it. It was like universally good,
except for me.
And my friends are all really critical jerks sometimes, you know, about things. So.
And they were positive about that movie?
They were.
Interesting.
They were, you know, it was unanimous. It's like, it's not a joke. It's a great movie. It's actually unexpectedly wonderful. And, you know, yeah. So, you know, I guess it's real.
Interesting, because I thought it was just a bare minimum movie. And the ending, I felt, was over the top of the target audience, which are the kids. And
really,
yeah, I saw it Wednesday night, and I was like, wow, I was impressed by the animation, I was impressed by the way it was presented to me, but the actual and a lot of inside jokes were for me, you know, not for kids.
Okay,
but it wasn't,
congratulations,
over the top funny. It was entertaining, it was had some good jokes, had some really good parts. But then towards the end, it just went all crazy. It went off the rails, to say. And they beat you down with a lesson. The best kind of thing I can say is, like, if you ever watch a movie and sometimes they have like an environmental message in it, and certain movies, they hit you over the head so hard, you're watching and you're like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here with this, with this message that they're trying to shove down my throat? That's how I felt while I was watching this movie. Like, towards the end, I was like, well, what the hell is going on here? And like, oh my God, they're trying to teach me a lesson here.
Well, what else is a Lego movie going to do, really?
Well, you think that the other, I mean, I've only seen one other Lego movie. The one with the Spider-Man and the Avengers.
Okay.
Which was computer animated.
I didn't even see that.
And it was on Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, whatever. And I saw it, and it was they weren't trying to teach me anything. It was about the Avengers being stupid, running around in Lego form, doing stupid Lego stuff. And that was it. So I just felt that they, I mean, well, you know.
Well, you felt it was heavy-handed.
Over the top for the ending. I thought if it had continued on its path, it would have been a decent movie all the way through. But the ending really threw me for a loop. And if working in a movie theater, a lot of people, the target audience, which are the little kids, they don't even get it. Well, what the hell is going on? I don't know what's going on.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to dispute you because I haven't seen it. I didn't even know there was one coming out. All I know is that I followed my news feed on Facebook, and everybody I know is ecstatic about it. So
I guess I'm in the minority again.
Huh. No, not necessarily.
Well, amongst your friends.
Yeah, well, all right, fine, fair enough. But, I mean, I don't think that's the world minority.
That's
true. Although, you just reported that it's making a gajillion dollars, so...
Yeah,
Mark, what's your problem?
Maybe I don't like movies with messages in them.
Well, that's true. I know you well enough to know you don't like movies with messages in them. So,
correct.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Speaking of movies...
How is he doing?
Just announced the great company that is Disney... is going to make a live action.
The people monsters that are. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
They're going to make a live action Chip and Dale movie. This is, of course, due to the success of.
This is an announcement. These people who stole Marvel and stole Star Wars and canceled the Clone Wars and doing this rat terrible Star Wars Episode 7 and Star Wars Rebels.
Yes.
Makes a big announcement they're making a live-action Chip and Dale movie?
Yep. And this has to do with the success of the last two largest live-action comic book, live-action cartoon franchises, such as the Smurfs and Alvin and the Chipmunks, which made a combined $2 billion worldwide.
The Smurfs? And Alvin and Chipmunks made $1 billion, or just the Alvin and Chipmunks movie?
Combined. Smurfs made $910 million worldwide to date, the both movies put together, and the Alvin and Chipmunks movies made $1.1 billion. So together, it's about $2
billion. Isn't that special?
$2
billion. That just shows that parents are taking kids to movies just to placate them and shut them up for an hour and a half so that they can go shopping or just have a moment of quiet. That's what that means. Sorry.
Do you remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon with the kid who was looking for an Easter egg? I want an Easter egg. And it was with Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. And it was like Bugs Bunny was babysitting the kid, and all he wanted was an Easter egg. And that's all he said throughout the entire cartoon. And they painted Elmer Fudd's head like an Easter egg, and he kept on hitting it with a plank, you know, the wooden planks. I want an Easter egg. That's all he was doing.
I vaguely remember that. My God.
This is what I'm thinking of right now. I want to see the movie. Go see the movie. go forth and see that movie.
As long as you'll be quiet. If it means you'll be quiet, you have my blessing to go see that film.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's tragic. I'm sorry. That's no good news. How is that even interesting?
That there's going to be a Chip and Dale's cartoon.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. How's that interesting? How's that good news?
It's interesting because it's a cartoon property brought to live action. I mean, that's a big deal. Think of Transformers. You know? Cartoon property brought to live action. Turtles. Cartoon property brought to live action.
Speaking of which,
He-Man.
Since we are here at the time, did you see the Peter for Transformers?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. With Grimlock.
Yes. Did you puke? No.
No, I was like, eh. I carried on.
like the terrible state of affairs that's in the news today, mostly with journalism and reporting and stuff like that. All I can see, this is all you get today. The news used to be the news. People used to say something when they had something to say, like Starlog magazine and Fangoria and all these other things used to come out with an actual article, with actual people actually having spoken to the creative team behind some of these franchises,
right,
or having spoken to the actors and something like that. So they have something to report. Nobody has anything to say about anything now. So everything is all speculative. What is that sword? Why does Optimus Prime have a sword in his hand? Who's Optimus Prime riding?
That was Grimlock.
It was Grimlock. But then, that's what I'm saying. You know, who's that double, you know, where does a double-headed dragon come from? People are like, oh, that must be Swoop. And I'm like, wait. Does anybody have anything actually pertinent to say about this stuff? Like, does any of these articles, because all these articles always will come out with the title, confirmed, so-and-so is in Transformers. And then you'll click on it like a jerk. So you're, oh, it's confirmed. And then you'll see it's an opinion editorial. You know, I believe that so-and-so should be in it because he was in the last one. I'm like, well, that's not pertinent information. That's not even true. That's all speculative.
I came across one that was like that for Indiana Jones. It said Harrison Ford is too old to play Indiana Jones.
Right.
And it was a stock market speculation about how they should not have him in the next movie since Disney bought the rights because it would lower their stock value and it wouldn't make as much money if they had hired an unknown to be Indiana Jones.
So therefore, it's not even a confirmed thing. It's not a real rumor. It's a statement. It's an inflammatory statement. You click on it to either disagree with it or get endorsement, from your own position, and you find out there's not even any real information in there. No experts have been consulted. No, creative teams. They didn't talk to Ford or Spielberg or Lucas or anybody like that. It's just some jerk with a blog who usually can't spell. That's my other favorite thing. I've got a couple of these. I'm gonna name names next week. I'm going to put these movie sites together and I'm going to name names. Because most of these people, they don't even have editors. So it's just popping up on my news feed or popping up in my email with these, inflammatory like titles that purport rumors as facts. And then you click on it like a jerk. And then you realize you were just, you're just another hit for a website.
Yeah. But that's what it's all about nowadays.
That's what journalism is now. Journalism is butts in the seats. That's all it is now. It was always about ratings and stuff like that. But they used to disguise their lust for attention with actual news. That's how it used to be done. But all right.
Well, we do have actual news here.
What?
We do have a bit of actual news here on our little.
Good segue. Well done. Please go on. My rant is over.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, it's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles coming to the United States. But this month, G.I. Joe turns 50 also.
Yeah, the original G.I. Joe. Yes. Not Duke and Scarlet. And
right. It has been
50, we're not that old.
Right. It has been 50 years since Hasbro brought G.I. Joe, the original G.I. Joe, to the annual toy fair in New York City in early of 1964. The executives say, Joe stood for everything that was meant to be good, fighting evil, doing what's right for people.
Yeah, doing right for people. doing people rightly.
Most boys in the 60s had a father or a relative who was or had been in the military. So once you've bought Joe, you will need to buy all the accessories and play sets and add-ons, which was great for business. G.I. Joe hits shelves in the 1964 Christmas shopping season, and the toy was sold at $4 a piece, which is ironic because I remember in the late 80s, the G.I. Joes were about $4 for the little ones.
Yeah, the action figures were about $4.
Yeah.
Which, can you imagine $4?
Back then?
Can you imagine getting an action figure or anything for $4 now?
Yeah.
You can't even get a slice of pizza for $4 right now.
Well, you can get the dollar pizza.
Yeah, good slice, I said.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't actually say that, but I implied it.
It was implied, right. G.I. Joe was elected into the Toy Hall... into the Toy Hall of Fame in 2004,
well,
only
done.
6 years after Barbie was in there.
Oh, well.
So it took them 6 years longer to get in there.
You can't beat G. Barbie, I guess.
No one can beat Barbie. But it's by the same...
No one beats Barbie.
No one beats Barbie. That's a... Barbie is also Hasbro, isn't it?
I believe it is.
So. So there you go. Look at them.
Yeah, so Hasbro should have put it up earlier. Hasbro, a bunch of jerks.
Hasbro's a bunch of jerks.
Hasbro's a bunch of jerks. What? It's true.
Okay, from the desk.
I was speaking the truth.
Godwin. Hasbro's a bunch of jerks.
Don't just leave me hanging on that. Yeah, all right, fine. Okay. All right.
And finally, in case you missed it, super popular wrestler CM Punk, who was one of WWE's biggest wrestling stars right now, walked out on the company, effectively quitting his job a month before the debut of the WWE Network and only 2 months before WrestleMania 30. As you may or may not know...
I don't know, so please tell me.
Wrestling has had... They have storylines where sometimes they fake events, such as when they had Vince McMahon, the creator, well, the head runner of WWE, that he had died, and he didn't really die. Or when there's rivalries. But apparently this one's supposed to be actually true, that he just upped and walked out of the company. It has happened before with other wrestlers where they've gotten fired for being drunk or not showing up for events, and then they had to make a story around what's going on. But as for right now, it appears that he is out. So they're not out. One of the biggest...
And they don't know why he left.
Correct. As of right now, they don't know why. Whether it's a story, whether it's, you know, who knows as time goes on. But as of right now, he just walked out of the company. Could be creative differences, which has happened lots of times.
Yeah, true. But they would say that.
No, because sometimes they want to incorporate it into a story. You know, you never know what they want to do. Because it's the only organization in the entire world that does 52 weeks of entertainment, live entertainment. And they constantly writing up, you know, doing new storylines per week. So who knows if it's actually a real thing or a fake thing. And sometimes, matter of fact, one of the other popular wrestlers, Triple H, he's married to the boss's daughter.
Yeah, I know that.
Right, but it's not in the storyline of the show, of the WWE.
It used to be.
No, they were never married. They hated each other, and, you know, they never play up the fact that he's the boss's daughter's husband.
That's not true.
WWE.
Maybe not in WWE, but I don't know. I remember vividly, what's her name? I forget her name.
Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah. And Triple H, like, she was his manager.
Right, she was a manager.
That was a storyline.
Right.
But then, you know, they were kind of, you know.
Yeah, but...
They were hinting at it.
But at no point did they say, this is the boss's daughter, this is...
No, they weren't married, but they were hinting that they were a couple.
And as far as I know, they're still not married in the world of the show.
Who cares?
Well... it's just one of those things that the popular guy left, and due to which, one of my favorite Power Rangers, Jason David Frank,
how did this turn into Power Rangers?
You'll see.
That just happened.
You'll see. It so happens that Jason David Frank, the original Green Ranger, who's going to be coming back for the 20th anniversary of the Power Rangers Super Mega Force, coming up this year. For the past year and a half, he has been trying to promote a fight, a real MMA fight between CM Punk and himself for charity.
What a guy.
So he says that now that CM... So Tommy says, now that CM Punk is out of his contracts, he should do MMA. So why
is that
not...
your Tommy voice? Is that,
yes.
That is, okay.
Yeah. So why not fight me? He already said he would fight me. I got this on video. Come on, CM Punk. We can make this an awesome fight. And that's it.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's enough.
So you know, he's out of a contract. He walked out. He wants to be an MMA fighter. So Jason Day or Frank is an MMA fighter. Why not fight for charity? You know, probably Jason Day or Frank is more popular now than he was back in the day. And CM Punk is an extremely popular, you know, like I said, the top guy on WWE. So it would be kind of cool to see them to have a real fight for charity. I think that's kind of nice.
Sure, all right.
Yeah. Just think of, what is this, Hulk Hogan versus Sylvester Stallone in Rocky III.
Yes.
Something, you know, hey, let's see this for charity. It's for charity.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't have anything to say about it.
Your sincerity level is very low. That's all I'm saying.
I can't get into it with you about the Power Rangers and about Tommy anymore. Right. I can't. Right. I promise I wouldn't.
So
I'm not allowed. I think it's a great idea, Mark.
Okay, so we're gonna take our break. We'll be right back with It Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we're back with a camera from the radio, and that was
the G.I. Joe movie
theme, yes.
Theme song. Wow.
Which
like 30 years old.
Is the only one that actually used land, sea, and air.
Yes.
In the song.
They finally got air in there.
they tried.
Oh, no, it's sea. Land. They finally got sea in there.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just land and air in the
freedom over land and
air. Yeah, wow. Wow.
Yes.
That's terrible geeky to know that.
I always found it
terrible geek revelation right there, Mark.
Which is weird because that was the first movie when I realized that the actor who played the Penguin was the actor who played Mickey in the...
Burgess Meredith.
Yes,
yeah.
Because they're like, you know, starring Don Johnson and Burgess Meredith. I was like, oh, who the hell's Burgess Meredith? And then I went and I did a little research. I was like, oh my God, that's the Penguin. And oh my God, that's the guy from Rocky.
Yeah.
And Sergeant Slaughter as Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes, wow. Who else are you going to get to play Sergeant Slaughter than Sergeant Slaughter? You actually got a guy named Sergeant Slaughter, and you just happen to have a character named Sergeant Slaughter, you got to get the guy named Sergeant Slaughter to play the character named Sergeant Slaughter. That's just correct. That's only fair.
So there's the boardroom meeting. And I go, who's going to play Sergeant Slaughter? What about this guy? His name is Sergeant Slaughter. That's genius. Let's hire that guy.
Imagine that. Imagine there's actually a guy named Sergeant Slaughter to play our character, Sergeant Slaughter.
Who's a sergeant in the military?
Yes, and he slaughters people, apparently.
Well, he slaughtered the robots.
Yeah, whatever.
So this week, on the subject of what we've been mentioning, we're going to be talking about animation. Yes.
Are we?
As we know, there are pretty much three different methods of animation. There's traditional hand-drawn animation, which the G.I. Joe movie was made, hand-drawn. Then there is the computer generation, which is extremely popular nowadays for the movies Shrek and Frozen. And then, of course, you have the stop-motion animation, which was for the Lego movie, stop-motion animation.
Okay.
So we should compare the three and see which would be the best. Because as you may or may not know, movies and entertainment and the theater are done with 24 frames a second. And the higher ones are made with 36 frames a second. And each frame is one shot of animation. So that means there has to be 24 hand-drawn images to make 1 second of film.
Wow.
So obviously, it's easier and cheaper to do it by a computer, but you still have tons of computer animators. A lot of people were always upset that the computer animation is taking away from the traditional animators, taking people out of jobs. We've actually mentioned this on the show a couple of times. And yet, it's an evolution of how things have changed. But there still will, what's that movie? The Disney movie that was the Princess and the Frog? I believe that they said that was, you know, they went back to traditional animation. Like, it's a big deal now to do something that's been done for years. So I just want to know your opinion, Hassan, as to the three different types of which is your favorite and why.
I like animation in general. I think the Disney animation, I don't know. That's a good question. I usually like I definitely have an affinity for the Japanese animation.
Which is hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn animation, yeah.
Right.
I think it's, to me it's just more dynamic, more human, I guess you could say. They're more prone to, error. You know, but it also the errors become the part of the dynamic characteristic of the cartoon.
Right.
So that, and then even if there's what's the other choice?
There's the computer animation and then there's stop motion animation, such as like A Nightmare Before Christmas for those.
I think the Nightmare Before Christmas. I think stop motion animation is. I think it's wonderful. For it in and of itself, I think it's. Let me rephrase all of that.
Okay.
I think animation in general is, and this is going to pretty much end our conversation, because I think it's all fantastic. My favorite is hand-drawn, and of the hand-drawn, my favorite is Japanese animation, because there's different styles of hand-drawn animation.
Right.
CG animation has its moments. I think what my problem with most CG animation is that it's all this cutesy stuff, because that's where the money is, these kids' shows. So you always get you get these Pixar movies that come out every 5 minutes, you know, and they're really great, but they're basically the same film over and over again. So there's not a lot, you know, there's always great visuals to look at, but there's never any real depth to me. I'm not a fan of those kind of movies, those cutesy, like, lesson right. movies. But I think the animation is, I used to hate it. I used to, when Toy Story came out, I was one of those, like, these angry traditionalists. Like, no, animation must be done with a pencil on a piece of paper. It's not to be done with a computer. You can't have it be done with a computer. And over the years, I've been like, yeah, but it's kind of pretty. So
I kind of enjoy the hand traditional art. I think maybe that's because where I came up from. I think the stop motion has a more real feel to it because it's an actual item in someone's hand that they're manipulating.
Yeah.
So it exactly. actually is like, wow, this is kind of real. And stop animation can be used for, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be characters, but it could be anything. For example, on the web camera, if you took a picture every 24 seconds and I moved the microphone around, that would be stop motion animation.
Right.
So it would give something that a motion to something that's normally an inanimate object. I think that gives them more creativity in that aspect. But the computer-generated stuff, when done right, because there are some pretty bad hack jobs I've seen for computer animation.
Really?
Yes. I think the computer stuff is kind of evolved beyond just a computer-animated movie. I think a lot of times, because the special effects incorporate computer animation, it would be a better place for that. So I really don't enjoy computer-generated features and animated films as much as I would, because I'm so used to seeing it in the live-action stuff.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying. Today with special effects and stuff in movies today, you can do just about anything you could do in an animated movie.
Right.
So it's kind of negating the necessity for an animated movie. That's why I'm saying the animated movies, they haven't really... I mean, you could do a lot of cartoon stuff with it, and I guess a lot of kid stuff, which is great, but they really haven't... They haven't even begun to explore the boundaries of what you can do with it. I think the Clone Wars cartoon was fantastic for what it was, you know, as computer animated.
Right.
I think it was fantastic, and I think that was one of the few examples of them trying their best to push the boundaries of the medium, and also to, you know, to keep a level of quality in the writing. But for the most part, I don't have too many examples of it. It's the same with the stop motion animation. It's pretty much relegated to, what's his name?
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, thank you.
Hooray.
Hey, from the desk of Mark Torres. He just slipped a note to the desk of Hassan Godwin. Thank you very much.
We use a tube.
Yes. Tim Burton, you know, usually gets relegated to that creepy, you know, Pumpkinhead stuff. Like Nightmare Before Christmas and Caroline and that kind of thing. And so, like, there's a lot that can be... I liked Nine. I saw that.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. So it has its place. I just don't think they're doing... I think there's such undertakings to get the animation to where it is that a lot of it is based off of the fact that they did it and not on the fact of what they did. I'll try to explain that in a better way.
I got you, but do so for our listening audience, Mrs. Faversham.
Yes, Mrs. Faversham, let me explain. It's the fact that they made a movie with this kind of level of sophisticated animation that is the selling point, as opposed to the kind of movie that was made, you know, and then, you know, what kind of story was it? What kind of events were happening in it? What kind of depictions were being we're being depicted. Oh, sorry. And that's kind of what turns me off to it. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that's just great, but it's been 20 years now. What are you doing with it? You know, where are we going? It's been 20 years since a Nightmare Before Christmas.
So it's like when, in the old days, speaking for myself, when they're like, oh, we have our first feature-length computer-generated movie, like, ooh, it's computer-generated. Wow, let's go see it because it's computer-generated, not because of whatever's going on in it, just because it was done.
Right.
And then that's what they keep on doing. And they don't even say it's a computer-animated movie anymore.
No.
They just say, yeah, it's a cartoon for kids. Yeah,
check it out. Another Pixar movie. Enjoy.
Which,
well, you look at the Guardians of, what was that, the owl movie?
Guardians of Gahool.
Huh?
Guardians of Gahool, I think it was called.
Yeah, or something like that. That was a great film.
I heard it was a great film, but I don't
that
know.
That was a fantastic film. So here's the counterpoint to what I'm saying. That film, it's not really, it's probably a PG film.
Right.
It's not really a grim movie, but there are some action sequences in it that don't pull any punches. And it was done by Tim, what's his name?
Zack Snyder had a hand in that, didn't he?
No, Zack Snyder, yeah. Sorry. I get my Tim's messed up.
Tim Snyder, his cousin.
Yes, Tim Snyder. It was done by Zack Snyder, so it's got the Zack Snyder flair of, you know, whatever, and music and all that other stuff. But it was really a great movie that's kind of a deep movie. And it didn't really do as well as these Pixar cutesy movies. So I understand why they keep making these, you know, wolves and
pachyderm. And Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, I can understand why they keep making these crap movies, because that's what the kids are going to see. The kids aren't going to see these other sophisticated movies, and the adults aren't going to see it, because they're, you know, we're past that stage, man. Adults not. People are like, I just want to be entertained. I don't want to have to think. I don't want to use my brain. I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want to go see a cartoon movie. A couple of years ago, you could have done a couple of hundreds of those, and people would have gone to see it because it was artsy and it was new and it was different. And people were interested in, like, you know, that whole expanding your mind kind of state of being. But people don't really like that anymore. People are more entitled to being entertained. They're more, you know, they're more finicky about what they want to see. They don't want to really think too deeply. They don't want to, you know. So you're not going to be able to make Guardians of Gahool or whatever that. Heck, that is, you know, you're not going to be able to make a movie like that and get your money's worth, you know, recoup your losses. So that's why we're getting this really crappy Disney animation, like Up and these other movies. I've seen these movies. I'm not a fan of them because of their little cutesy, like you're saying about the Lego movie, like these cutesy little message movies. You know, I'm not interested in that. I don't really think that doesn't do anything for me.
I remember when they were pushing the envelope for computer animation, because it was like, there was, there used to be this video called The Mind's Eye. And at the point in time, that was like, this is what computer animation can do at the height. And people used to watch this just because it was something amazing to see without a mess. It was just done to music. So it was just animation done to music. And people love that sort of thing. But
right.
I think it's lost its way somehow. But it's because of what you're saying. It's the money. You know, there's so much money to be had. I mean, you know, Toy Story 3 is like one of the biggest movies out there for animation.
Yeah. So they're never going to make anything other than that.
It's the same argument I presented to you many moons ago about Michael Bay. He must be doing something right to be making all this money and for him to still be working. You know?
Well, yeah.
Hate him,
movies,
hate him, love him or hate him.
Make a ton of money.
The movies are terrible, but he must be doing something right for the men. Like, oh, who are we going to hire? Let's hire Michael Bay. He'll give us some money.
It's just this brilliant action-packed, explodey kind of stuff. You don't have to use your brain for any of it. And I mean absolutely none of it. You don't have to use your head. And people love that now. Nobody wants to think about nothing. And look, it's a condemnation. I fully cop to it, but it's also happens to have the virtue of being true. You know, nobody wants to think. So, you know, you get a movie like that. I mean, come on. Everybody. Okay, here's the thing. Everybody wants a piece of the big thing, right? The big whatever. Whatever the next big thing is, everybody wants to be a piece of it.
Right.
Everyone wants a dollar from it, from the next big thing. They all want to be on the front lines of whatever historic event is going to happen.
Correct.
So what you do is you have, like, a movie like Transformers 4 comes out. Of course, that's going to be a big deal. It's going to make a lot of money. So every news outlet, instead of, like, you know, scrutinizing for, okay, what's the purpose here? What was the point? Why do we need a fourth one if we had the other three? You know, tell us what the nuances is. Why is this movie going to be better than the last three that you made? Why is there anything significant? None of them are going to ask these questions. None of them are interested in the answers to these questions. All of them want to be at the, you know, get some kind of light from the breaking news that, you know, that comes from this event. And then as soon as that event is old, they'll move on to the next event.
Right.
They're not going to, they don't want to speculate. They don't want to study. They don't want to know anything. If your news is like that, how are the people going to be? So it's like, okay, well, someone said to me, you're not going to see Transformers 4? No. Why? Because I saw the last three, you know? And I actually saw only part of the third one. I didn't even see the whole movie because it was so bad. And I have my own issues with it that I've made very public.
Yeah.
But I won't use this place as a forum for that. Those are my principles, and I'm not going to back down from it. And people are like, yeah, but it's going to be a big metal lizard.
It's expensive.
You know, it's just going to be a dinosaur. Come on, man, a robot dinosaur. But yeah, I'm sorry, my principles aren't for sale, you know, on that aspect. Oh. And, you know, instead of having a news outlet that says, look, here are reasons why you might want to go see this movie, even if you didn't like the others. Or the news outlets are just going to pretend that the last few movies weren't a fiasco. You know? It's just retcon. You know? It's retroactive continuity. People pin that third movie from here to the Shining Sea. Okay? I remember it. I remember reading it. I was like, wow, this, you know, well, a lot of people hate this third one. You know, this is universal.
Yet
people couldn't stand it.
Big bag of money.
Yeah. It did make a big bag of money, but even after the bag of money that was made, people couldn't stand it. People were telling me that it was terrible. Now there's gonna be a fourth one. Nothing has changed except the lead actor.
Actors with an S.
And arguably that didn't even change for the better. That doesn't mean that they're you know, that Shia and the rest of those guys were better. But it didn't improve in quality who they actually got, in my opinion.
It's not like, we got this actor who's going to bring some gravitas to this movie.
Yeah, you know, it's not like they hired some bunch of Shakespeareans to do, you know, to give it a break.
So we got 5 minutes. So let's do a final thought with, what do you think the future of animation is going to be?
I think the future, I don't think there's going to be any danger in the future of animation. I think it's got a long way to go, and I think it's, I mean, and I don't mean that in a long way to grow. It's got legs. It's going to go a long way, and I think it's going to start making up a lot more of our mainstream entertainment as it goes along.
I am actually on the complete opposite aspect of this with
that's because you're wrong.
In the future, I think that animation has pretty much gone as far as it's going to go. It's as creative-wise goes. You know, it's going to be bigger. You know, there's going to be out there because it's obviously cheaper to do, and that's what we do is we milk that cow until it dries up. But I think it's going to be a lot more animation as it's been growing and growing and making more money. But I think that it's kind of just reached its plateau. I don't think they have anywhere to go with it.
No, look, you're probably right. The medium itself can grow. I don't think I think I agree with you in the sense that I don't think they're going to do anything new with it. You know, I don't think they're trying to push the boundaries of it anymore. I don't think they're trying to discover any deeper truths about it anymore. So I think it is probably gone as far as it's going to go.
And
I think we think the same thing for different reasons.
And bringing it complete full circle.
Well done.
They were probably going to just use the computer animation to replace live actors,
right?
In movies,
right. Yeah.
So it'll
be
more of an amalgam than anything. But still, I doubt that, you know, as animation goes, that's pretty much the only avenue it has left is to take over as the machines take over the world. That's what they do.
good. Let the machines have it.
Let the machines
have it. Just give it up that easily. Just let them have it. That's what I say.
I, for one, welcome our new alien robot invaders.
Yeah. He came for the radio, does not endorse standing up for ourselves or resisting the inevitable conquest of the machine.
That about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can listen to us on the archives, which will be up in a day or so. And make sure you follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. We'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.